Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As I mentioned, our midweek theme are the six marks of discipleship. These are practices that draw us closer in our devotion to Christ. They are to worship regularly, to pray frequently, to read the Bible often, to serve beyond Good Shepherd and in Good Shepherd, to give of your time, talent, resources, and imagination, and community, to nurture relationships within the community here at Good Shepherd and in the wider church throughout the world. Now, obviously, these are not an extensive list of spiritual disciplines, but they are foundational practices that over time form the bedrock on which faithful discipleship is built. On the surface, they may sound overly simplistic and obvious to the point that you might say they go without saying, but they do, because we forget. Now, they're not a list of accomplishments that we can brag about as if it makes us a better Christian than the person sitting next to me, nor are they a new set of rules that we have to follow so that we can measure our righteousness once again. If anything, these practices make us more humble and grateful because we experience God's grace anew. Lutherans are often hesitant to talk about stuff like discipleship and the things that we should do to be a discipleship, disciple, because we're afraid of something called works righteousness. We're afraid that we might be caught actually doing something with our faith rather than just talking about it. But it's important. This week, our topic is prayer. In the simplest form, prayer is conversation with God. Now, it should make common sense to us that relationships will atrophy and die if there's no communication, if they don't talk to each other. So it is with our relationship with God. If we keep complete silence with one another, what happens to our relationship? There's a frequent complaint that I hear that people don't know how to pray. Well, they have a real problem with praying in public or maybe praying out loud, but prayer shouldn't be all that difficult because, you see, we all have the basic skills required to talk to one another. We know how to share our needs with those who care for us and who can help us. We know how to give and receive. We know how to ask for things and say thank you. We know how to express gratitude. We know how to ask forgiveness when we've wronged someone. We know how to say what's on our mind, what's important to us. We especially know how to speak words of love and devotion to those closest to us. So prayer is really only doing what we already know how to do, but with God as the one that we speak to and listen to. It's not too much to say that prayer is a way to nurture our relationship with God. Or even more, that prayer is a way to stay in love with God, because that's necessary to stay in relationship, isn't it? Now, it's not that God needs to be reminded to love and care for us. That goes without saying. But we need reminding. We need to keep the lines of communication open so that the Holy Spirit can nurture us in faith and discipleship. Now, there's as many ways to pray as, well, there's too many to count. Some are very old, but they're not obsolete. There's almost as many different ways to pray as there are varying circumstances in our lives. Let me just list, quote unquote, a few. There are prayers of praise, where you say, "You know, God, you are great. You are wonderful." There are prayers of thanksgiving. "Wow, you've blessed me, God. Thank you." There are prayers of confession. "I really screwed up, Lord. Forgive me." There's prayers of discernment. "I don't know what to do, Lord. Can you give me a clue? Can you help me?" There's prayers of reconciliation. "Gee, Lord, help me get over this estrangement with that other person." There are prayers of lamentation. "How long, Lord? How long do I have to put up with this illness, this trouble, this problem? When are you going to help me?" It's frequent in the Bible. That's one of the most frequent prayers. There's prayers of intercession, praying for others. Prayers of healing, for illness and painful relationships, that God would heal them. There's what I like to call slice of life prayers. You know, those little ones that you shoot off in the middle of your day, like when you're sitting at a stoplight, or when you hear an ambulance siren going by and you pray for the person inside, or someone just comes to mind out of the blue and you pray for them. Something I learned long ago, whenever you wash your face, remember your baptism, how God has washed you clean and made you God's own. Or even something as corny as whenever you clip your fingernails, remember that you need to pull your claws back in and not be so aggressive toward other people. There's many ways that just in everyday life, prayer can be part of it. There's something ancient called Lectio Divina, where you read a passage of Scripture, and you read it again, and you pray about it, and you pray about it some more. There's another biblical prayer that you can use. It's called an arguing prayer, where you argue with God like Job or Moses, saying, "I'm mad at you, God. I'm hurt. I feel abandoned. I don't understand what you're doing to me. Help me to trust." There's silent prayer, maybe the most difficult one, where we sit in the presence of God and listen. And listen. There's praying with others, perhaps taking turns, praying with each other. Something old called examine prayers. Those are looking back over your day and examining what went right, what went wrong, and how you can follow Jesus more closely the next time. There's liturgical prayers. Lutherans like those. They're written for you. They're in a book. Hymns are just like that. They're sung prayers. They're also in a book, but they also have that emotional attachment very often that make them very special as prayers. And then there's praying in community, and we'll do that tonight in worship. And there's many more ways. There's almost as many kinds of prayer as there are circumstances in your life. There's enough for any mood, any stage, any season, any opportunity that you might have. Now, I personally must admit and confess to you that my prayer life ebbs and flows. Sometimes it's like a desert, dry and lifeless, and it seems that there's nothing to say and it seems absent in my life. There are other times when my prayer life is vibrant and alive, and God is so powerfully present in everything I see and hear. Maybe it's that way for you too. Sometimes God seems so close. Sometimes prayer seems very hard and difficult. Well, St. Paul told the church in Rome something crucially important when we go through those dry spells and those good times. He writes that the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. In other words, we don't have to know all the answers. Sometimes we can't even put into words what we need to say, what we need at all. All we need to do is trust that God is with us, and that God will see us through, and that God does listen, and God does care, and be open to the Spirit to guide us through those highs and those lows. You see, the Spirit will pray with us, and for us, and through us. And God really does know what we need, even before we ask it. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't pray, or don't need to pray. Far from it. Our relationship with God grows and thrives through these encounters and these conversations. And our love for God grows and thrives through these encounters and conversations. So know that God can and does do amazing things through Christ's amazing grace. And to experience that grace more fully, more deeply, it helps to keep talking and listening to our God. And that's what prayer really is. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.